During the past year, remembrances of World War II have been very much with us, culminating in the 50th anniversary this Sunday of the dropping of the atomic bomb. In his first novel, Tree of Heaven, short story writer R.C. Binstock sets a peculiar love story against an earlier and less discussed event, the Japanese invasion of China during the 1930s. Book critic Maureen Cargan says, like many other good war stories, Tree of Heaven muddies the battle lines.
An astonishing thing happened in my summer school poetry course a few days before it ended. An argument erupted. Now, most of the students taking this course were fulfilling a requirement. They were not poetry lovers. But during that particular class, one guy roused himself to declare that Wilfred Owen's The Disabled was a better poem than W.B. Yeats's An Irish Airman Foresees His Death, because Owen had fought and died in World War I, while Yeats was merely an observer. "You can't write well about people whose experiences are different from yours," he said. During the ensuing debate, I mostly kept quiet. It was a relief for a change not to be carrying the conversational ball. But I was thinking of Flaubert and Emma Bovary, Nabokov and Humbert Humbert, Ishiguro and the butler Stevens, and on and on and on. I was also thinking of the characters in R.C. Binstock's extraordinary novel, Tree of Heaven. If ever a novel decimated the identity politics approach to determining literary value, this one surely does. Tree of Heaven is set in war-torn China in 1938 and describes the intense love affair between a Japanese officer and a Chinese refugee. Kuroda is the commander of an isolated garrison in central China. A witness to the rape of Nanking, as well as to the casual tortures his soldiers inflict on the defeated Chinese, Kuroda struggles to retain some measure of integrity. His men just think he's weak. Their opinion of him plummets further when he rescues a Chinese woman named Li from gang rape and makes her his servant. The lonely Kuroda yearns for some kind of human contact, and fortunately, Li speaks Japanese. But at first, she's too traumatized to respond to Kuroda's overtures. Li says, "I don't know why I am still intact. I'm sure it has nothing to do with heaven. I've always felt that I mattered and was being watched over. But at a time like this, even heaven forgoes its concern for individuals to concentrate on history." Binstock gives voice to victor and captive by tracing the course of their singular relationship in alternating chapters where Kuroda and Li speak their thoughts aloud. We come to understand how, despite their clashing allegiances, the two could care for each other. In the final third of the novel, however, passion gives way to sickening suspense as Kuroda and Li watch the walls of their enchanted safe zone shrink until finally the fury of the war breaks through. This plot summary may make Tree of Heaven sound like an erotic version of that standard World War II movie moment where a GI and a German soldier leap into the same foxhole, decide to share a cigarette instead of shooting each other, and discover that, gee, they're a lot alike after all. But the psychological depth of Binstock's insights into his characters and the lyrical restraint of their first-person narratives safeguard the novel from triteness. And with respect to that theory argued by my former student, Binstock resembles neither of his main characters. His recreation of the mass terror and individual acts of humanity that attended the Japanese occupation of China is a triumph of unobtrusive historical research and imaginative empathy.
Maureen Cargan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Tree of Heaven by R.C. Binstock.